It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire.
Ron, the show, Hughley is out. Vanessa Richardson of KPRC Channel 2 Sports is in. And I don't know, I guess I hope you're off, what does show always say? You're off and
something old. Something about old,
he says,
dirty.
Old, dirty, and showing. It's O-L-E, by the way. It's not O-L-D.
Yeah,
it's
not old.
Important distinction
That's
there.
Right. Old, dirty, and show. Gotcha. Well, I tell you what. It's 5 o'clock. Hope you had a great day. You're off and old, dirty, and V. Gotcha. Vanessa
I like
Richard.
That.
You like that? We might be on to something right there. We might be on to something. Well, look, the Astros, they whooped that ass last night. The Astros win 13-0. They complete the sweep of the Baby Birds, also known that is Dusty, also known as the Baltimore Orioles. Look, they took care of business. They did what they were supposed to do, and they did it in impressive fashion. Last night, in particular, 13-0, they had four home runs. Let me see if I can remember: Altuve, Alvarez, Toro, and oh yeah, white boy Chaz went out there and did his thing. Four home runs. Toro, I think it's worth mentioning, had four RBIs. Jose Urquidy, another quality outing. Mm-hmm. 7 innings, 3 hits, no earned runs, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. And Vanessa, on the backside of this segment right here, I talked about, can the Astros do something or break a record that's been around for a long time here? Can they do it?
Yes. I mean, we don't want to jinx it, right?
Oh, hell, we're talking about this. Ain't no hitter crap.
Right.
Let's talk about it.
But here's the thing, 12 game winning streak, it's the franchise record. We looked this up. I double triple checked it. 1999, 12 straight wins. 2004, and then 2018 is the last time they did it.
That's right. And the Astros are sitting right now with 10 dubs, 10 straight wins, 10 game winning streak, where they've outscored their opponent 81-21, by the way, in those 10 games. And here's the beautiful thing. Is that they've got a 4-game stretch here with the Detroit Tigers, AJ Hinch, baby. They got a 4-game stretch with the Detroit Tigers, which they could very easily win 3 games in a row and break that record. And on the backside of that, they've got the Baltimore Orioles at Minute Maid Park for a 3-game series on the backside of it. So not only are they close, and can they maybe break that 12-game win streak record, hell, they may be able to rattle off several of them, Vanessa.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, this team's hot right now, and you look, they have Miles Straw leading off. I love Sean Pendergast.
Oh, you let the cat out of the bag.
Well, I love Sean Pendergast's tweet about you. He's not even worried about a team where Altuve's out and Miles Straw's leading off.
Yeah, we're getting cocky out here. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. The Astros, the voting for the Astros, the All-Star voting for the Astros right now. It ended at 3 o'clock, by the way. I don't think they've had final tallies out yet. The Astros that look like they may move to the second round of voting, which will be announced later tonight for sure, officially announced. But the ones that are on the ballot that you can vote for moving forward, Yuli. He's in second place for the first base position, obviously. Jose Altuve, second base, second place. Alex Bregman, third base, second place. Los Correa, shortstop, third place. Maldonado, catcher, third place. Michael Brantley, sixth place for the outfielders. And Yordan Alvarez, DH, currently third place. So several guys on the All-Star ballot there. We'll have to wait and see who ends up making it. But several guys there for everybody out there to vote on. But the Astros, 10-game win streak. They took care of the Baby Birds, and they start tonight versus the Detroit Tigers.
5 o'clock fire.
You mentioned it, Vanessa. The starting lineups are out, and I think there is – well, hell, I'll just give it to you. Miles Straw is leading off. Miles Straw is leading off. Michael Brantley's batting second. Yuli Gurriel's batting third. Alvarez is batting fourth, Correa fifth, Tucker sixth, Toro seventh, Robel Garcia eighth, and Maldonado is batting ninth. Luis Garcia, the old three technique, right-hand pitcher coming off of a big-time outing versus the White Sox when the Astros swept the White Sox 4 straight games. Garcia was on the mound when the Astros beat Rodon, who is one of the best pitchers in baseball right now. So Garcia's hotter than a firecracker. He ought to be fun to watch tonight. But the obvious, Altuve. Altuve gets the night off. Here is Astros manager Dusty Baker on Altuve not being in the lineup.
Yeah, he's okay. This is one of the days that I planned to give some guys, you know, some days off. I thought about tomorrow, but then today was a better day, I think. You know, for whom I'm replacing him with and how many days he's played and how many days that he may play after this.
Again, I think it's worth mentioning that the Astros are, at one point, I think we counted, they had 26 games in 27 days. Right now, I think they're at 17 games left in the next 18 days, so one day off before the All-Star break hits. So no surprise here that Dusty Baker's getting these guys some rest when he can. And the beautiful thing about it is, Vanessa, is that we talk about this lineup, we talk about this start and rotation, but a beautiful part of this particular roster is the way that the quote-unquote others have filled in for the superstars when they've needed rest.
Yeah, you don't feel like losing Jose Altuve for a day could ruin this winning streak.
Yeah, look, I mean, I heard Landry Locker talking earlier in the loop. I mean, I heard him talking, and he said that Toro, and it's a pretty good sample size now. I mean, it's Toro. It's not just one or two games where Toro's actually batting, hitting better than Bregman was right when Bregman got injured. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that Toro's better, so everybody relax. And wherever that text line is, pump the brakes a little bit. I'm not saying anything other than stating the obvious that Toro is definitely a good fill-in. And, look, we thought it was going to be a disaster when Litmus Diaz went down for 3 or 4 weeks. And here you got Toro, Robel Garcia. You got several guys that are stepping in and filling that not just the superstar void, but Litmus Diaz void as well. So, good. I mean, right now, they're just in every facet of the game right now. The Astros are hitting on all cylinders.
5 o'clock fire.
Mattress Mack, our guy. We all know Mattress Mack. Vanessa, we had Mattress Mack on the other day.
Those Astros, they're kicking ass and taking names.
You damn right they are, Mattress Mack. But I tell you what, I asked you, I thought we were better than this, Mack. I asked you to let me know next time you had a hot bet that you wanted to place. And I check my phone pretty regularly. Damn thing, it hadn't gone off once from your cell phone number anyway.
He's blowing you off.
I know. Yeah, he's definitely blowing me off. Non-factor. I look up and Mattress Mack has placed a $3.35 million bet on the Astros to win the World Series. The beautiful thing about that is guess what that usually means? It's a futures bet, right? I mean, you got...
Is a professional hedger.
Right. Well, we got 70 plus games left, and hell, we got more than that, 90 plus, don't
yeah.
we? Probably. Anyway, we got a ton of baseball left to be played. Mattress Mack is making a $3.35 million bet on the Astros to win the World Series. That tells me, folks, that there's going to be some furniture sold in the next few months.
Darren Rovell on this morning with Payne and Pendergast, which you can listen to on the Odyssey app. And Darren Rovell basically said that, right? He said, hey, Mattress Mack made sure to get in the free promotion when he made that bet. So he said, well, we'll say calculated, right?
Yes. Oh, it's everything Mattress Mack does is calculated. I've got to do radio with him a couple of times. I don't think a word comes out of his mouth without it being calculated. But, I just think if you got an empty room in your house and you want to put a little furniture in it and you really like the Astros, which right now, I don't know if they're peaking too soon, but damn, they look good. As soon as Mattress Mack announces that he's going to give free furniture if the Astros win the World Series, you might want to ease on over to one of the gallery furniture locations and pick you up old bedroom suit or something for the man cave or the living room or something, because Mattress Mack is at it again, man.
5 o'clock fire.
The NBA playoffs are hot and heavy right now. The Hawks beat the Bucks last night. The Hawks beat the Bucks, and I think a lot of people, guys that I talk to around here, the NBA guys around here, a lot of them think the Bucks are the best team that's left and probably the favorite to win it all. Sean Pendergast could tell us exactly if they're the favorite to win it all. But last night, the Hawks beat the Bucks behind Trae Young. And Trae, I dropped my lollipop on the carpet. Young, he had 48 points last night.
He was shimmying, literally.
Literally, before
he's
shooting.
Literally shimmying.
And that was Drew Holiday he shook out of his high tops, too, on the hard court last night and yanked that three. But he scored 48 points last night in the Hawks' win versus the Bucks, and that put him in elite company. Vanessa, this kid, 23 years old, and he's joined the company of LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. I mean, it's scored 48 points, and the only other players to do that before the are younger than 23 or younger is LeBron and Kobe. This kid is special. I knew he was good when he was at Oklahoma, but I didn't know he was this good.
And he's like, he has that Iverson gene where he doesn't care that he's smaller. He's just going to school you.
Yes. Yes. It's fun to watch. And I tell you what, one thing out there for all the Texans fans, the Rockets fans, I know it's tough right now. I know it's tough sledding to be a Rockets fan, but what's beautiful is we always talk about timetables to rebuild something. And I tell you, the two teams that you need to watch right now, one of them is the one we just got through talking about with Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. And don't watch them and see Capella and get pissed off because he used to be a Rocket. Just watch them and understand that the Hawks were a dumpster fire not too long ago. Watch the Phoenix Suns and understand that 2 years ago they were the second worst team in the NBA. And right now I'll argue that when we talk about teams, they may not win at all, but the Suns, I think, are the most complete team. I think when Chris Paul's healthy, I think you got the most complete team in the NBA. They don't have the star power, even though I think my boy Book is on his way. They don't have the star power, but boy, they sure enough work as a team, and they remind me of not down to the detail, but they remind me of the Warriors and how they played basketball back when they were in their run and they were their dynasty. It sure is fun to watch. They share the basketball. They move without the basketball. And I tell you, if you're a Rockets fan, watch them two teams and just realize that if Steven Silas and Raphael Stone, if they take care of business, the Rockets could be back in business sooner rather than later. It's not necessarily a 3 or 4 year rebuild. This thing could be right sooner rather than later. All right, the Astros, they are rocking and rolling. Here's the question. Is Dusty Baker getting too cocky? Hell, it ain't just Dusty. Are we all getting a little bit too cocky a little bit too soon? We'll discuss next.
You reading my face?
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
That's that riff. Yes, indeed. That's that riff right there, T. All right, complete transparency, 100% transparency. Didn't work out real good for Rob Manfred and the Astros sign-stealing scandal, but let's see if it works out for me. I'm stealing this straight out of Sean Pendergast's Twitter feed, straight out of it. Here's the deal. The Astros starting lineup is out, and this is what it goes. This is what it looks like. Miles Straw is leading off. You heard me.
Altuve.
Damn, how did I forget Altuve's name?
No Altuve.
No, I've already made a mistake. Sean would not have got hung up on the first batter for the lineup. That's for damn
sure.
That's right. Miles Straw is leading off. No Altuve. Michael Brantley's batting 2. Gurriel 3. Alvarez 4. Correa 5. Tucker 6. Toro 7. Garcia, Robel that is, batting 8. Maldonado 9. Luis Garcia, the 3 technique, is on the bump. All right, so here's where we've arrived, and Show and I have been pretty critical of Straw over time, and we've been pretty critical of Dusty Baker and his at least we've tried to figure out what the hell the method of the madness was a lot of the times, but just the guys that he just conveniently kind of throws up into the leadoff position if Altuve's out, or the two hole if Brantley's out. And
I'm from a different generation.
I know, and I love it, Dusty. I actually love it. So don't take this the wrong way, but I just don't understand why Carlos Correa is not the default 1, 2, or 3 hitter when any of those guys are out. I can't make sense of it for the life of me, Vanessa.
What Dusty Baker said a couple days ago during Zoom availability was, you know, this is the Miles Straw we wanted early on, but some guys take a little longer. So I think from his perspective, that Miles Straw is shaping up to be what he wanted him to be.
Well, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. I'm with you. I'm with you on my – we're talking about the 8 or 9 hole hitter here for the Astros, right? I mean, it's not – let's. I mean, we got to find things to bitch and complain about here, okay? But I think we're getting a little too cocky.
Yeah.
Including Dusty, and I'll speak for myself. So I'll read Sean's tweet as it's mine. Is it weird that I don't freak out anymore over a lineup that has no Altuve, no Bregman, Straw batting leadoff, and includes Toro, Robel, and Maldi in the 7, 8, 9 spot? Am I getting too cocky? Well, Houston, are we getting too cocky? 713-572-5000. 800-919-4610. Give us a call. Are we getting too cocky? Are you too cocky? Are you cocky enough to the point where when you see this lineup, you think it's no big deal the Astros can win anyway? Because I'll be completely honest with you. I've talked all day about I think the level of confidence that I have is probably a little unhealthy for this team. I was not referring to Miles Straw when I said that, but I'm at a point where when I see that, I know used to it made me, I'm going to be honest, used to it made me mad when Miles Straw was in the leadoff or Miles Straw was batting second or White Boy Chaz was batting second. That usually, Vanessa, would make my blood boil. What are we doing? Why is Correa not getting bumped? Why is Correa not getting bumped to the one or two or three hole? Instead, we're experimenting with these guys. It doesn't anymore.
How many teams can lose their Bregman and just have Altuve have a day off and be fine? You know, that's how good the Astros are.
Not many. I mean, when you look at, you have no Bregman already out of the lineup and you just decide to rest your leadoff bat or one of your best hitters, one of the best Astros of all time, it's one of those where typically, as I said, I typically get a little bit beside myself, but with we're at a point right now where when Miles Straw can bat first, second, and it's not because I think all of a sudden I'm confident in Miles Straw. Because I'm going to be honest, my deal with Miles Straw, I get the fact that he's hitting better, the average is up, but I just don't have any confidence. Like when I'm watching him hit, I just don't have a ton of confidence overall. There's a swing here or there when he hits it out of the park that really looks good. I just don't know that I have a ton of confidence overall.
Do you think the Astros are peaking too early?
Oh, you're there. Yes. I'm scared. I don't think they are. I'm scared, though.
You're skeptical.
It's we're not even the All-Star break. We're 70-some-odd games in, and my confidence level in this team is unhealthy. As Sean said, that lineup is something that I just kind of go, all right, well, let's watch a little ball tonight. No big deal. Yes, I think there's a chance that they're peaking too early. And I'm just basing that off of what I've heard other MLB insiders, I've heard MLB insiders talk about is you know, it's about teams that get hot at the right time.
Right.
And I don't know how – there's two things here, two problems here for me as I watch the Astros. I don't know how they could get hotter. Right. I mean, at this point in time, I don't know. I can't give you one way that this team could get hotter. And I don't know how they sustain this play for another 17 games up to All-Star break in the whole second half of the season. Right. I hear people talk about, well, all they got to do is, all they're worried about is health. You know, they got to stay healthy. Oh, I agree. But right now, they're five starters deep of their last four or five starts. For each starter, I looked at the stats. Four or five starts. I took out the starts where pitchers were on pitch counts. So Odorizzi's last start, where he got pulled in the fifth on a no hitter, it's out. Right. The start before that, where he actually followed up somebody. I can't remember who it was. He followed somebody up and took that out. Right. So I took out games where we expected the pitcher to go in there and give you a quality start. Six innings, three runs or less, and all five of those starters are averaging over six innings per outing.
Good enough to erase the bullpen issues?
Well, good enough to avoid them.
Yeah.
Right? And you got Christian Javier in that long relief. I think he's, regardless of what he does throughout the season, I'm confident when he comes out of the pen. Mm-hmm. You got Blake Taylor that came back. Rayleigh came out last night or night before? Was it night before last?
I know he did it two nights earlier. They may have used him again. I'm not sure.
Rayleigh comes out and looks good. Pedro Baez is – damn, I didn't get to ask Tony Gwynn
Jr.
about
Pedro Baez. Yeah, we were
going to
ask Tony
Gwynn
about that. We ran out of time.
See, trying to be technically sound, trying to make sure I get that damn – get it done.
But you should go back to listen.
I thought you did.
Did I? Oh, I did.
You did.
Well,
yeah,
but
you
can go back
him.
And listen to it on the Odyssey app.
Yes.
We did an interview with Tony Gwynn Jr.
3:35.
Yeah, you asked him.
I did.
Because he was familiar with him from his days over on the West Coast.
I should never doubt myself,
Nah, man. Never.
What's going on around here? See, that's what happens when you lean on a pole when you're mowing. You start doubting yourself. See, it just creeps in and you start doubting yourself. I don't remember where the hell we were with that. Anyway,
Unhealthy cockiness with the Astros, Sean Pendergast?
Yes. Sean's unhealthily cocky. I'm unhealthily confident, I think. And I tell you what, I don't know what this guy's doing in an unhealthy manner, but I'm pretty sure there's several things. Nasty ass Jim. What's going on, baby? Are we overconfident? Are we too cocky?
Oh, no. First, I want to welcome your lady co-host. Very nice breath of fresh air.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
Well, it's true. Clint, love what you bring to it. My disagreement with you somewhat is that how do we know that the Astros are peaking? I mean, I don't see any chinks in the armor. I mean, this might be one historic kick-ass, badass year, and we should enjoy it. I ain't worried. I mean, I mean, for the last few years we've been through with the Astros, and before that, hey, let the good times roll, baby. I'm going to enjoy every second of it, and thank you for the time. Y'all have a great evening.
It's good knowing he's out there, dude.
Just like Sam Elliott. Don't, that's unbelievable, man.
Love that voice. That's
not my old nasty ass positive ass GM. Boy, he said, I'm going to enjoy that ride. Look, I hope he's right. I hope he's right. Maybe the Astros haven't peaked. Maybe this is just we're seeing the tip of the iceberg, and this thing is going to just keep on rocking and rolling and getting better. And I hope he's right, man. I hope he's right. I look at where the Astros are right now as it's obviously a huge positive. I mean, we've seen some beautiful baseball played to this point. And the beautiful thing is right now they got a 10-game win streak going on. 12-game win streak is the franchise record. They've done that three times in their history. They got the Detroit Tigers tonight, which is A.J. Hinch they're in Detroit, but they're up against their former manager. And they got a 4-game stretch against these guys with a chance to set up a record. And what does Dusty Baker do? He goes out there and puts old Straw Dog in the damn leadoff hole. So here we go. If Show's out there and he wants to bet whether the Astros score more than 4 runs tonight, give me a call. I'd like to win me a couple of drinks. What do you say? We good?
I think we should do that. Let's reach out to him. I need to get those back.
Yeah, you bet with my money last time, you dirty dog.
It just felt right.
All right, let's talk about these Texans, man. I got there's teams around the NFL right now that are they're making some major announcements to their training camp plans, and I got big questions. I got big questions about whether the Texans are going to do the same or are they going to take a different route? Are the Texans going to get involved in these big-time announcements or not? That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, he's Clint Sterner. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Welcome into Sports Radio 610. We're talking Texans today, Clint. A lot of Texans, 33 days out from training camp. We've seen a peak of OTAs. We know the Texans chose not to have a mini camp, which as a former NFL player, you were not a fan of.
You know it. Call me old school, Vanessa. I was not a fan at all, damn it.
But the Bucs announced they're going to have some joint practices. They're going to have joint practices with the Titans. A lot of star power there. You're going to see Julio. You're going to see, of course, Brady. It's going to be awesome. Do you think the Texans get involved in having joint practices?
I hope so. I went to Green Bay 2 years ago. It was 3 years ago.
Yeah, would have been 2019.
No, I mean, good gosh, time's flying, man, when you start leaning against poles when you're mowing and stuff, man. Yeah, I went to Green Bay. I love it. I think it's very, very valuable for a franchise to cross train like that with other organizations. Mm-hmm. I saw the Detroit last year. I believe it was Detroit. They came here to Houston, and so man, I hope they do. I just with Nick Caserio, and you know where he comes from, and I think the way that they're so guarded, for lack of better terms. I guess I would be surprised if they got into the game, but, man, I sure hope they do.
If they did, who would they link up
with?
Well,
I mean, you look at it, it's got to be first on the list got to be New England, right? I mean, Caserio obviously really, really close to Belichick. Mm-hmm. You got to think that would be a comfort zone for him. To have the ability to make sure that they can keep their arms around what the hell goes on. And so you got to think that New England would be on that list. And I tell you, New England's a squad that I would, for selfish reasons, would love to watch Cam Newton and Mac Jones compete. I do think that's a legit competition. A lot of these young quarterbacks, I don't know that Trey Lance is really competing with Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. I don't know that Justin Fields is really competing with Andy Dalton in Chicago. But I believe wholeheartedly that Mac Jones is competing with Cam Newton in New England. So I would love to see that with all those weapons that they surrounded the quarterback with this year, getting a lot back on defense. I would love to see the Texans get involved in joint practices again this year, and I'd love for it to be New England probably. Who you got?
I would love to see the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, that won't happen.
Now, are you a Chiefs fan
I just think you like good ball. Heck, my pick would be the Colts if we're going with
You grew up in the backyard, right?
But that one, you know, when the Lions were here, that was cool. Bill O'Brien was nicer when the Lions were here.
Was he? Was he?
Yeah,
or was there just a lot more
activity?
More
chill. Yeah, there's more too. I think he was more chill. But yeah, this regime, we've talked about it. They keep preaching competition. That means a physical camp. How are they going to be physical, in your opinion, especially when, as you've talked about, they're not having a mini camp?
Well, that's the other deal, right? Is we got two things working here. I like the joint practice conversation for selfish reasons. But now you're getting into, for me, something I'm concerned about. Like, we've heard competition. We've heard that discussion ad nauseum. We've heard it a million times. The free agents that they sign, like, their entire theme of the offseason is competition, whether it's David Culley or Nick Caserio or any number of players that we've heard from at this point, is it's all about competition. And I got a major concern for how they're going to make that happen. It's 2021. Mm-hmm. And what'd you tell me earlier, Vanessa? For the record, Vanessa, she grew up in Indianapolis, and she would literally go with her father, which is really cool, by the way, and walk to watch the Indianapolis Colts in training camp every year. What'd you say those practices look like?
Yeah, it was in Terre Haute from 99 to 2009, and it was twice a day, full pads. So I know you agree with me, this old school thinking, but it's like the wussification of training camp in a way.
Yes. Oh, there's no in a way to it. I mean, the sport has been wussified, and several sports have been wussified, for a lack of better terms. Yeah, I think it was very easy to separate the men from the boys back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just some old head. Yeah, this is how we used to do it. We walked 10 miles through the snow barefoot. That's silly. But it's when you can strap the pads on, and I'm not saying you abuse the physicality of the sport. I'm not saying you abuse the opportunity that you have to work with the players. But what I am saying is there's a certain level of physicality that's needed in Houston that may not be needed in Tampa Bay. It may not be needed in Kansas City, right? Because those guys are at a different level at this point in time. But you literally, if you're the Houston Texans, you got to figure out which players on the defense side of the football can create chaos. Which players are comfortable getting inside somebody's face mask and letting them know about it? Like, everybody don't have that in them. I mean, there's some really talented dudes that can survive on Super Bowl caliber teams with that kind of talent around them, and they can go in there, maybe not be the most physical dude, but they're athletic and they can play and they can help a team win and create depth on a roster. But here in Houston, like, you got to find dudes that love the game. You got to find dudes that love contact. You got to find dudes that love to work. You got to find guys that understand that you got to work a little differently than the top dogs do, because you got a longer way to go and a shorter time to get there. And I'm worried about the Texans from the ability in 2021 for a coach that we've already seen negotiate minicamp away because he wanted high attendance, which I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. Mm-hmm. I get why he did it. In 2021, contact has all but been removed from practice. I mean, removed in a major way. Mm-hmm. And when you're an organization that literally is creating competition by the way you build your roster, and you won four games last year, and it's year one of a rebuild, Vanessa, I don't know how you are going to raise the competition to a level that it needs to be raised to for you to make decisions without being more physical than really guys want to be in 2021 in training camp.
Is the chemistry a concern for you as well, because they have so many guys that are new on 1-2 year deals?
Oh, hell yeah. Chemistry's always a concern. Matthew McConaughey, you're a big Matthew McConaughey fan.
I am.
Right. Whoa, hey, look out now.
You
look
hear
out
that?
Now. Whoa, where's that?
He's, yeah, he's
you
fine.
See, you need that rack drop. You need that rack drop. But I guess you like a little Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, he's all right. Good old boy. He was talking yesterday about, I heard it wasn't yesterday, it was actually a podcast. My buddy Justin Moore, who's a country singer, he does a podcast, and he had Matthew McConaughey on the podcast, and he was talking about, you know, because he's like heavily involved in the Texas Longhorns, not
right.
more as a fan and a celebrity than any kind of booster or like giving. He's just involved. He likes to be part of, big fan, and he was making the point that he is not an X's and O guy. He is more about the chemistry and the intangibles of the game of football and how coaches manage the intangibles and how that's an advantage. So anyway, it was a really cool piece about the intangibles and chemistry of a football team. And hell yes, I'm a huge believer in that's just something that gives you a huge advantage if you can create it. Right. I mean, that ultimately that's the key here for the Texans, right? Is can they create the chemistry? Can they create the literally, and I know this, a lot of people minimize it, a lot of people push back on coach speak and all that kind of crap. But if you can create an environment where you literally have dudes in the locker room that are holding each other accountable. And I don't mean like, where the hell you been? How come you're late? I mean, like, I'm going to be on time and I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be, whether we're talking about the gap on Sunday where you're supposed to be in the scheme, or we're talking about having your ass at your training session because you got a sore hamstring on time. Like, that is such a huge advantage when the coach doesn't have to police the locker room.
Mm.
Problem is when you're in year one of a rebuild and you got 50 plus percent turnover in the locker room, all of a sudden that is really, really, really hard for a coaching staff and an organization to create.
You know, I remember last year, Anthony Weaver, who's no longer with the team, he was the defensive coordinator, said that he wanted wild dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for you, who is on the Texans, and I would love to hear the listeners what they think too, who's going to be the dude for the Texans?
Yeah.
Because like last year, okay, yeah, they went 4-12, but you still had the dude. You had Deshaun Watson, you had J.J. Watt. I mean, the Lions, like, had Calvin Johnson. You always have a dude, even if you're a team that might not be great. You have that one person that stands out. Who is that for you with the Texans, or who potentially could that be?
That's a great point. I mean, because when you first said it, I was like, man, every team ain't got no dude. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
But you started talking about the Lions, and you go, yeah, Matthew Stafford, hell, McVay's out there in the Rams going, good God, this guy is amazing. Galladay was a receiver with them. Mm-hmm. Trey Flowers was a defensive end that won a Super Bowl. Arkansas boy, by the way. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, every team has a dude. And, look, I remember – the first OTA that Sean Pendergast and I went to, we're standing next to each other, and he's like, man, who do we watch?
Right. This year.
This year?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because you know.
Because last year
It doesn't mean much when I say it, because I've only been literally going to Texans training camps for 3 years now. And so I can say, yeah, JJ was there, and Deshaun was there, and Hop was there for one or two. But when Sean, you know, Sean's been doing it, I mean, 8, 9, 10 years. I don't know how many years exactly. I should probably know that, but. He's been doing it for years, and there's always been a star attraction. There's always been Clowney. There's always been Hopkins. There's always been JJ. Before that, there, you know, some of the older heads that unfortunately we've seen come and go. Jay Joe and a lot of players that should still be Texans. Dwayne Brown, you know,
those fixture in the locker room.
Yes,
yeah.
and a fixture with the organization, to where a ticket seller, a guy that can sell tickets. We always talk about it like, who's going to be on the front of the ticket opening day, first game of the season?
Yeah.
Who's going to be on the ticket? I don't know, right? This year. You ask me the dudes, and, man, I would go – I'm going to go Phillip Lindsay on offense. It's hard to not go Brandon Cooks, because I think Brandon Cooks has got – I think he's a super special player if he's used the right way. But I don't – you got to work to get him the ball, right? Quarterback's got to be good. Schemer's got to be good. Got to be the right defense to get him the ball. I think Phillip Lindsay is a guy that is going to do really good things in Houston with the Texans for an extended period of time. I believe that. Like, he's a guy. I've always liked him as a player. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder was he a free agent coming in, or was he drafted? Was Phillip Lindsay free agent coming in, or was he drafted to Denver?
I'll look it up. I'm not sure about that one.
But he's got a chip on his shoulder, undersized guy, at a point in his career where he's proved that he could go 1,000 yards. and now he's got a rebound. But I really like Philip Lindsay, Vanessa. I like the fact that he is a shifty, explosive, twitchy back that from anywhere on the field can take it the distance. He can line up at a receiver position. He can line up in the backfield. He can a lot of movement. He can be a move guy, screen guy. Should be great in the screen game. I would go with Philip Lindsay as the dude.
The dude.
If I had to pick one, if I had to bet on one. Who you got?
He's Clint Sterner. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to 610. We're talking about who the dude can be for the Texans. I mean, I'd say Bradley Roby. I'll go a little bit of a different angle.
Yes.
You know, I think he has that potential. I think he has the potential to, you know, to step it up. And I liked what I saw from him. He had a couple of great games in 2019. So it's just hard to pick out somebody on the Texans roster that, for lack of a better term, you get really, really excited about.
Yeah, and he's a guy that I firmly believe this. And I believe that Bradley Roby is a guy that when he has the pieces around him, when he has the right support around him, he could be a lockdown corner in this league. I mean, corner is one of those positions where, man, if you're not in the right scheme, and quite frankly, if you don't have a front that can create pressure and create opportunities for you, it's hard to put up the stats to back being what we're calling a dude that because look, a corner, you could be a really solid corner in this league, and if you don't have pick sixes, and if you don't have pass breakups, and you're not put in situation to make major plays at critical moments, then it's hard to be a guy that the fans pay attention to and want to come see. But you can very easily be flipped with some interceptions, some pick sixes, some big plays in big moments to where you're one of the dudes that everybody wants to wait on outside the stadium to get your autograph after the game. You could very quickly become that guy. And Bradley Roby, I believe, has the talent to be that dude. Now, the problem is it's like a quarterback, right? We all know we can sit around here and talk about how great Deshaun Watson was and that he was going to give you a chance to win a championship at some point as a quarterback. But without the right play caller, without the right offensive line, without the right weapons, he's never going to be that guy. A corner, we can sit around and talk about this guy being a potential lockdown corner all day long, but if he doesn't ever get in a scheme that fits him, whether that's man or zone, regardless of what it is, or a combination of whatever, and he doesn't ever play with a front that can create pressure and force quarterbacks into making bad decisions, then he don't have a chance.
Okay, so you said Philip Lindsay, I said Bradley Roby, and then you had one more earlier when we talked about
you're
this that was
right.
A possibility, Chuck.
That's right. Charles Omenihu. That's the guy. The Texans have, I believe, the sixth most money wrapped up in the corner position. They've got the top 10 most money wrapped up in the linebacker position, off the ball linebacker position, and their bottom half when you talk about defensive line. So they've got to do more with less there. And I think the way that they do that, they're going to lean on a bunch of outside linebackers to become defensive ends, which is Shaq Lawson, which is Jacob Martin, Jonathan Grenard, Whitney Merciless. Like, I don't know who's going to come out of that mix and be that dude. But on the opposite side, Charles Omenihu is a guy that I think very small sample sizes. There's advanced stats out there that tell the story. He wins at a really impressive rate in terms of pass rush, whether he's inside or outside. I firmly believe that he's an outside guy. I think he's an outside, strong side defensive end. And if he's given the opportunity to play defensive end and get a good percentage of the snaps, be what we'd call a starter in this league, I think by year's end, he could put up numbers that we could classify him as a dude that you want to see, that would be on the front of the program, that would be on the ticket, that you see his jersey around the stadium. I really believe he could be that dude. I think that's the one I'm probably gambling a little bit on.
Sure.
I think the other ones just need the opportunity. I think Chuck is a guy that I think it's there and I'm gambling, but yeah, I would ride with him. I like what he brings to the table, and I think he's a really, really good fit in Lovie Smith's system. You had another one, didn't you?
You know what? I had he's laughing because this is my in a perfect world, which is funny because in a perfect world it would be Deshaun or DeAndre Hopkins. But due to the contract he received and his positive presence in the locker room, if Whitney Merciless could have, let's say, a little bit better of a season than he did last year, a lot better of a season, I would love to see Whitney be that guy.
I'd love to see him be that guy too.
Not saying
I
you will
Witt.
Be. I'm saying I would love to see it.
We're gonna need security to get out of this building. We're gonna need. She done brought up Whitney. We're gonna bring. I tell you what, Whitney could be a dude now, but based off what he did last year, boy, that's a bold statement, man. To think that he will be the dude.
So well, Philip Bradley, Omenihu.
Yep. And a possible Whitney Merciless resurgent, right? That'd be good.
That's like my perfect TV interview world.
Yeah, that's such
a good interview.
I hope that he gets back to where he's playing well enough to be a great interview for you. So just look here, man, to recap the day, Ron the Show Hughley was out, and Vanessa Richardson of KPRC2 Sports right here in Houston. She jumped in the studio with us. Hell of a job. Enjoyed the heck out of it. Tyler did a good job. We opened another show where we heard the train over at Minute Maid Park to start with. That means the Astros won. If you're out there riding right now, keep your fingers crossed. Stop and get you some cold Coors Light and get home and watch your Astros. They're on a 10-game win streak. The record for the Astros is a 12-game win streak. They've done it three times in history, 99, 2000,
2004, 2018.
Done it three times.
12 wins.
And with 12 wins, and the Astros, I think, I want to knock on wood. We got to knock on wood, cross our fingers, and drink Coors Light, because that's how the Astros are going to get to. There you go. That's a beautiful sound, isn't it? That's how the Astros are going to get that record. We got to get them to 13 dubs in a row to set that record. And what else did we decide today? The funniest thing of the day, I think, is the tweet that came in that said that we were talking about my man Trey Young, who, by the way, hell of a job, 48 points last night in the win.
Shimmying.
Over the Bucks. Yeah, shimmying. Well done. I don't know. Somebody tweeted in and said, looks like you dropped a sucker on the carpet. Your blow pop hit the carpet. You pick it up. There's little fuzzies hanging off of it. That's Trey Young's
Just shave it, bro.
Let it go, man. Hey, you know what, Vanessa? I'm with you, man. Just keep balling. Keep stacking paper. And if she cares about your hair, she ain't the right one, homie. She ain't the right one. The Astros, they go tonight. Miles Straw is leading things off, ladies and gentlemen. Miles Straw is leading things off. I don't know if I'm too confident or too cocky. I don't know if Sean Pendergast is too confident or too cocky, but I really don't give a damn. I think the Astros are still going to dominate. The three technique, Luis Garcia, is on the bump from Clint Sterner, Tyler Milner, Vanessa Richardson. Houston, we love you, baby. Light and jump off in this pool.